www.kabu.fm.
This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Volunteers of America, Oregon, committed to helping 17,000 vulnerable people of all ages in our community live better lives each year. You can learn how to help by visiting the website at voaor.org. This KABU program has also been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Northwest Connector, connecting riders to the Oregon coast through daily round-trip bus routes from Portland, Salem, and Corvallis. Northwest Connector buses are equipped with bike racks and offer 3-day and 7-day passes with transfers up and down the coast. Schedules and trip planner at nwconnector.net.
On the next Ear to the Streets of Portland, tune in to hear
morning. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott, and we are here, and you are there. If you're listening in Corvallis, that's 104.3. In Hood River, that's 91.9. In Portland, it's 90.7. And via the web is kboo.fm. Let me give you our phone numbers. We will be talking about the Yes on 88 campaign for driver cards, and we want you to participate in our conversation. Give us a call at 503-231-8187, or you may email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. Joining us today are Maxine Fuchsen, who is a pediatric nurse practitioner who has worked many years in public health, primary health care with underserved community, and has been active in health and social justice issues. Our second guest is the Reverend Mark Knutson, who is the senior pastor of Augustana Lutheran Church in Portland, a multicultural, multinational congregation committed to weaving just community. Thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cecil.
Let me give a little full disclosure I am a pastor in the United Church of Christ, and our congregation has endorsed the Yes on 88 campaign. But I want to encourage those of you who have questions or oppose this measure to call in and participate. So what is the Yes on 88 campaign? Maxine?
Sure. So Ballot Measure 88, otherwise known as the Safe Roads Campaign, is a campaign to allow for Oregon citizens, adults, to get a driver's card. And a driver's card is, well, I guess background first. Mm-hmm. In Oregon, in order to drive, you have to present to get your driver's license, a birth certificate, or some proof of legal residency in the United States. And what that does is denies the right for many citizens to drive a car legally. And so citizens that are affected by this are undocumented individuals, elderly people, especially individuals who may have been born outside of a hospital and not have a birth certificate, women or individuals who are victims of domestic violence, who have maybe had to flee and not have their documents with them. So Measure 88 would provide for a driver's card. It's a four-year permission to drive. So the person who gets it would pass the same driving test, written and road test, as getting a driver's license. It's limited in the sense that it's not a formal ID. You can't use it in an airport for other proof of identification, but it allows the person to legally drive a car, to get insurance, and to be safe on the road, which is an important issue.
Now, I understand that this ballot initiative is the result of a citizen initiative. The Oregon Senate passed a bill 833 in 2013, and were either you involved in that encouraging the legislature to pass that legislation?
Certainly, many of us were in support of that from around the state, people of faith and people of goodwill all over this state. It just makes sense, mm-hmm. and it's what families need. And if churches and Reverend Cecil Prescott, I know you are out there on issues for families, and so are we, because we stand side by side in this city, the interfaith community, on things that make families strong and safe. And so many people did support this bill, yes.
So if it seems like such a good idea, and it was passed by the legislature and the governor signed it, what is the origins of the opposition? Do people fear what? Anyone? I've heard that among the opposition is it might be a pathway to allow an illegal aliens, as the term is used, to get certain rights, that it will not make the road safe. How do you respond to those concerns?
Well, first of all, the word illegal alien isn't a word that we in the faith community talk about. Mm-hmm. You have to use that, I know, Cecil, because that's what's being said. You know, in Scripture, we're reminded to treat the person who's new to the land or may have been in this land for many years, undocumented, as a citizen. We are residents of this state, whether we have documentation or not. And if we trace our own histories, we all know that, except for our sisters and brothers whose origins go back 40,000 years in this continent. Many of us came in various ways, some slave ships, which was one of the most awful sins of this nation, and others on other ships escaping and fleeing violence or famine or poverty. So as a state, I grew up in Oregon. I've lived all over the country doing national work, but I grew up in this state. And I learned in the faith community, I learned from Republicans and Democrats, that as a state, we want to treat one another well and make sure people have what they want. So the opposition, we've gotten backwards on that in this country. And so we've been talking fear-based legislation versus community-based legislation and human being-based legislation. So the fear that drove this ballot initiative, and it's a confusing one in many ways, I would love to sit down and talk with people and dialogue. We're not about causing division. We're about how do families really make it in this state and have everything they need to function. And the hardest working people in the state are those on the edge, those who are vulnerable. It's not me, it's not people in corporate towers or anywhere else. To make life work, people really have to struggle. And to think about not having transportation, to get your child to the doctor, to get your child to a dentist when they have a tooth that is really bothering them, to get your family to church, I really want to sit on dialogue with those on the other side, because I think we can come to a human agreement. Mm-hmm. And even this is not, we're still creating second-class citizens in this state. We're not apartheid South Africa. We're not Germany in the 30s. We are Oregon. And Oregonians have always stepped up to make sure everybody residing in this state had what they needed to live and exist. And I think that's something we can all agree on. How do we do this? And this is one of the first steps to really make this right.
Mm-hmm. Before we began our program, Maxine, you and I were speaking, and you mentioned that you come to this issue from your work in working on health issues. How is this a health issue, a health equity issue?
Yeah, you know, I think it definitely is a health equity issue. And when we think about health now, we were really called to have a broad definition of what is health. And, you know, I think we've moved beyond sort of a simple disease definition of health. But health is, of course, bigger than health care. But it's looking at what are the institutional and the systemic factors that impact health of families, of children, in an either negative or positive way. And so in the healthcare world, we talk about the equity framework or the equity lens. And I'll just read you, I brought with me a definition from the CDC, the federal government's health body, that talks about health equity as the attainment of the highest level of health for all people. Achieving health equity requires valuing everyone equally with focused and ongoing societal efforts to address avoidable inequities that are historical and contemporary injustices, and the elimination of health and health care disparities. And I think that's a really important definition in this context, because what does it mean to achieve health equity? It means that families are able to live with justice and human dignity. And so to address the social factors that impact that are, you know, addressing racism, addressing poverty, addressing lack of housing. Mm-hmm. And transportation is one of those just really basic factors. As Reverend Knudsen said, when families can't drive to work legally, when they can't get to school when they're called because their child is sick, come pick up your child, and you can't get from your job to school rapidly, that impacts families. When you can't get to medical appointments, as healthcare providers, we're driven and our mission is to see all patients, but we can't see them if they can't get to us. And we know that when people can't drive, they skip appointments. They face emergency situations with such anxiety. I've heard it from patients, you know, how could I get my child to the emergency room? And I think we just take transportation for granted when we have privilege. And those who don't have that access, it becomes a big public health issue.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio. We're speaking with supporters of the Yes on 88 campaign, which will, if passed, will allow Oregonians to have driver cards. Just a little bit more clarity. So a driver card is not it is a license to drive, but I think Maxine, you stated that it isn't or cannot be used for identification purposes. Like you couldn't use it to fly, get on an airplane. Is that correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It would be used to drive a vehicle. You stated that the person would have to pass a driving test?
That's right, the same driving test that we all take.
Okay, and that will allow them, therefore, to as you suggest, use to get from place to place. Could it, does it grant status to those who are not citizens?
No, it does not.
Okay.
And I really, Maxine made some wonderful points just now. You know, a couple of things I want to say alongside that. We live in the city of Portland, And it's a total, you know, that's hard enough getting around. Mm-hmm. But I've lived in Astoria. I've spoken in Ontario, spoken, you know, at events in Hood River and Southern Oregon. When you're in rural areas, that's magnified 100 times over, mm-hmm. trying to get someplace. And I don't think there's a parent, grandparent, uncle, or aunt in this state who wouldn't agonize over the decision of getting in a car and driving without the proper insurance, a legality, or not taking their child to a needed service or another family member's. That has got to be one of the most moral, challenging things for a human being, and it's not right. You know, this state is a beautiful state, and we're becoming who I believe God intended us to be, a state of many peoples. And if we're going to get there and really celebrate that, we have to make it just and equitable for every person. I serve as chair of the Northwest Health Foundation Board, and our board is fully into this. And we're really working with the community, not taking the lead, but helping to fund, you know, helping to make in the community level so organizations can rise up, and many are around this, to make it just. But every one of us, we have legislators on that board, we have cross-section, you know, judges, I'm the clergy person on it, you know, it's a great board, but it wasn't even a question for us. 15 people could easily come to a quick agreement, and leaders in the state, how important this is. I do want to give an aside just for a moment, if I may. I had a 16-hour day in church yesterday, mm-hmm. 6 to midnight when we ended our meetings around Francisco Aguirre, who was staying at the church in Sanctuary. And Tuesday night at 7, we'll be having a major event, so every imam, rabbi, clergy in the city, all elected officials, the courageous ones, please come, and all people. We expect over 1,000 people. And there'll be a lot of education materials around Measure 88 available when people come. One other aside, 1986, I met my wife, 1981, and we danced that night. Next morning, I called KBOO, because I listened to KBOO all the time back then, because I loved the music and the talk. And I dedicated to her on KBOO with Lady C back in those days. Lady C was one of her classmates. She was the DJ that day, and it was one in a million. And I think if we can treat every human being as if they are one in a million in the state, we will be a far better state. We have great heritage, we have great future, but we need to really look at every person's rights, civic rights, community rights, and equity is right at the top of the list. For churches, as you know, equity and social justice is nothing new. When we take our scripture seriously, I've got my Bible here. It's not my floppy one. My church they're floppy Bible Lutherans. I know your floppy Bible, Ainsworth, UCC, I love your church. But if you know your scripture, if you take everything out of it about caring for those who may be the most vulnerable, you've got a little tiny Bible left. When you talk about economic and social justice, not much left. And that's not the Bible I think most of my sisters, I think all of my sisters and brothers in the Christian community, they want to know their Bible. So I would encourage everybody to do a Bible study today and then consider Measure 88. And you'll see it really calls us to lift up sisters and brothers who are being denied rights, being denied social justice. And then you start weaving community around those values. My sermon yesterday was Jesus was a refugee. And you know as well as I do, Jesus had to flee. His parents took him to Egypt after he was born because of the violence. And if Egypt hadn't welcomed that holy family, where would we be today? In terms of the Christian community. And even Moses, when we talk about children at our borders trying to come, what parent would want to send their child away, but they're desperate to get their children to safety, and praying that we will be a nation that will welcome their child. And those are values in this country, and especially a faith. And if we all know our scripture, Moses was put in a basket as a baby for fear of his being killed. And who found Moses? So the mother gave up her child hoping there would be life. And who found Moses? Pharaoh's daughters, or even the rich and the powerful can lift up the vulnerable and the very poor among us, all of us together, because the poor often do far more for others than those of us with wealth of any kind. All of us can be part of making the state just. And Measure 88 is a very, very important step in that direction. I was preaching all day yesterday. Yeah. I'm getting warmed up. You know, go ahead and stop me anytime.
So I think one of the things that Reverend Knudsen said as in his role as the chair of the Northwest
I don't speak for that. I don't speak for the foundation outside of that role, but I do say what we do.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I could just mention some of the groups that have endorsed the yes on 88 vote. Northwest Health Foundation, of course, Oregon Business Association, and Oregon AFL-CIO, Oregon Nurses Association, Oregon Public Health Association, Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, Basic Rights Oregon Education Fund, The Oregon Association of Nurseries, as Reverend Knudsen mentioned, and Governor Kitzhaber mentioned, the hard workers, the agricultural workers in our state, many of whom who live rurally and depend on transportation to get to and from work to sustain their families. So the Oregon Association of Nurseries is among the endorsers, SEIU Local 49503, the ACLU, CAUSA Oregon. And again, I stress that so many public health, social justice groups, faith groups see this as a measure of equity. And I think it's important to really see it in that light.
Okay.
And, well, I would say, you know, Ainsworth is on that list, so is First Unitarian and other churches. Churches often go through their councils and things, and now the ballot measure is out there. You'll see a wave of churches. Yes. I know in the Lutheran community, Episcopal, Roman Catholic, you just got Baptist, AME, CME, we'll be seeing a wave of churches coming onto the endorsement list in the coming days and weeks. Because those are values, those are core values of our faith. And this is not just Christians. This is, you know, we're well connected in the city, Buddhist and Hindu, Muslim and Jew, Christian, Native American spiritual leaders and others. And we've worked very hard over the last 20 years, as you know, Cecil, and especially before the wars all broke out, to work together and show the face of the faith community, not at odds, as we often can be painted, but really working together for just and fair solutions. And so you're going to see a cross-section of faith leaders stepping out and standing up on this issue as it is talked about in the coming month.
Okay. Well, we have a number of callers who would like to participate in our conversation. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. If you have concerns, questions, or even oppose it, especially if you oppose it, we want to encourage you to call. You may also email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. Let's go to Don. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. They tried the driver card ballot measure in New Mexico, and the unintended consequence was that people got the driver's license, and then they did not get insurance, and there were accidents and horrible accidents, and no insurance, and that's really bad. The other thing I'd like to say is that the people that are needing this driver card, you know, most of them are in the country illegally. And that's a concern also. The illegal immigration problem is a huge problem, in my view. And it's disturbing to me that people want to make it easier for people that are in the United States illegally to now drive, which is a privilege. It is not a right. It is a privilege. And I will take your response up here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling. Now, you mentioned, I think, two issues. One was about the example of New Mexico. I don't know if you can talk about what happened in New Mexico. And the second one was about whether or not driving is a privilege or a right. Maxine?
Well, yeah, and I think I want to also frame another point that the caller made. Number one is this isn't an immigration issue. I mean, immigration law needs to be fixed, and that's a whole separate issue. This is the right to drive, which I do think is a right to legally drive. I think it's very unfortunate when we have this two-tiered kind of system that I can just jump in my car without fear of doing that illegally to get to where I need to go, and that there's a whole group of citizens who don't have that right. So I think, again, with that equity lens, we need to look at that. The other thing is, this is just pragmatic. Mm-hmm. When we have people who are tested and licensed, we're all safer on the road. It affects all of us in a very positive way. In terms of the New Mexico situation, I don't know specifically about New Mexico, but I will say the statistics are when in about 10 states where there are driver's card type programs, uninsured driver rates have gone down, hit and run accidents have gone down, and all measures of road safety have gone up. So the evidence is that driver's cards, allowing people to legally drive, benefits all of us.
Yes.
And Don, I thank you for your question. I just want to underscore again for everyone that the DMV will ask these things of a person. They will have to pass the state's written driver knowledge test. They'll have to pass the state behind-the-wheel driver test, like I had to when I was 16. They have to provide proof of residence in Oregon for more than 1 year, and they have to provide proof of identity and date of birth, and they have to have insurance ready to go. So those factors are taken care of. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'd much rather have people being able to legally drive with insurance, and many Oregonians sometimes don't drive with insurance, they have licenses. So that's kind of across the board question, and maybe we have to address insurance in the state, but that's a whole other issue. But I'd rather that people have a DMV card and gone through all this process, knowing the laws of the road and all the rest, than to have people having to make the choice to get in a car without having gone through that process and try to get someone to where they need to be.
So it's definitely a safety issue that concerns all of us.
All of us.
Let's go to our next caller.
Jane,
good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say I really appreciated Maxine's definition on equity. My wife is a nurse for the county, so very much related to that. And then Reverend Knudsen, your story of the refugee, I also really appreciated that.
Thank you.
I do remember the beginning stages of this work to bring about a driver's card for all residents of Oregon, and that was back before the legislature did pass referendum, and then it was, of course, brought to the election here. I think there was two questions that I've heard from the immigrant community, and that has been with the driver's card, while that's to be celebrated, there was still concern that there could be continued discrimination within the community when getting pulled over again, continue to receive the basic rights, I think, that many of us do take for granted. And then the second question would be, what does classify as proof of identity for many who are within the immigrant community that have lived here for many years? Getting proof of identity can still be a hurdle to overcome. So, again, those were my two questions about the proof of identity, and then, again, about the continued discrimination and maybe what can be seen by some as compromise, where I think the immigrant community was actually wanting more, but then there was maybe a compromise made to what we could actually get.
Okay. Thank you, James, and we'll have Maxine and Mark address your concerns.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'll take the first one about the driver's card as I think. Again, I think it should be separated from the immigration issue. It is a basic transportation right. It's and I think we need to address it that way. I would say, as aside, maybe someone who supports immigrant rights, we have to fix the immigration system and look for equity in that system as well. But I don't think that we should conflate that with Measure 88. And I guess I think that, yes, we do. This is a first step. We need to work for immigrant rights. And so this is not an end game by any means, but it's a way to make our roads safer and to bring equity to that essential need for transportation.
And what about what classifies as proof of ID? It seems to be it could be a conundrum. If you don't have a birth certificate, how do you get an ID? If you you mentioned earlier, you know, people who were born out not in the hospitals. I mean, how do they get IDs? And but I assume that's an across the board problem, not only for those who.
That is. I mean, your church, our church, every day during the week, we work with people who are either living on the streets of Portland or life has really thrown them a curve and living in a car. And oftentimes these things get stolen.
Yeah.
And we have, it takes a lot of money for someone with not much to even get your ID if you can prove who you are.
Yeah.
And that's something we really need to look at, and that is across the board. And I really appreciate the caller's questions because you open up some very important issues. The piece about being pulled over with the card, mm-hmm. and I think all of us agree, this is not the perfect solution. As a faith leader of a large congregation, we don't charge down the road on an issue until we listen to the community being affected. Because that's who we want to hear and partner with. And in the Latino community, even though it's not the right solution, leaders, well, you have the long list. And you can go on Measure 88 and see all these endorsers. And in our meeting last night around Francisco Aguirre with leaders from a number of Latino organizations in the church, this issue is important. And so we partner and walk alongside with communities who know the answer. They know the best solution. Oftentimes, I love our elected officials, but oftentimes we don't, mm-hmm. Know them, but the community knows the answers. And KBOO, it's centered in that kind of a understanding of the community. So it's not the perfect solution. And I think also, I'm a member of the steering committee for the Albino Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. And we know racial profiling still continues. We know and we're working that. The federal government has now stepped in with us, and the city of Portland is working to renew and reform the police department. Many good officers out there, but some, like my profession, there's always some who aren't. And we need to address those issues as well. Because mm-hmm. if I'm going down the road, I won't be pulled over for an issue that a sister or brother, especially a male of color or female, could be pulled over for. And we have to honestly have that conversation. Again, this piece is a step to get people safe, get to where they needed, but we need to talk that larger question. Are we creating second-class citizens in the state? And that's not an Oregon ethic by any means.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO.FM. Our number is 503-231-8187. Or you may email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. Although I'm having problems getting my email up. Maybe we will see it and respond to your question. We're speaking with Maxine Fuchsen and Mark Knudsen, who are supporters of Yes on 88 campaign, which would allow residents of Oregon to get a driver's card. Let's go to our next caller. Christina, thank you for waiting.
Thank you very much. Yes, I think the last caller actually asked the question I was going to ask, but maybe in a different way. I was going to ask if there was going to be any special training that the police would have or anything so that they would be able to treat each driver fairly. I guess that's my question, that there would be some kind of work so that they would know that this is just as valid as any other license, and to only treat the driving infraction and not the driver.
Yeah, could I add on to that? As you address it, I was wondering, so if I'm pulled over and I have a driver card, I might be fearful that they might call ICE. Now, is because they see the driver's card, not a driver's license. What type of, as she suggested, what type of education police will have?
And that's a very important point. And we have like 49 demands for the police department from the AMA Coalition for Reform. This is one we'll probably bring into the conversation more clearly now. That they must, and I really agree with the caller, treat each of us for the infraction, not for something else about us. Mm-hmm. And that's very important. This past week, around the Francisco Aguirre case, the coalition, this city has risen up in a very powerful way, this metro area, around the Clackamas County Sheriff's Department. Because with Francisco's case of being pulled over just back in August, and if that was driving the car, knowing the story fully now, I wouldn't have been pulled over. I know that for a fact. So the Clackamas County Sheriff's Department was colluding with ICE. Multnomah County said they are not. We have to stay on top of that one to make sure that's the case. But we need to have a process in all 36 counties in the state to make sure sheriffs and other police officers are not using an organization, the federal organization, that is disrupting the laws of this state. People are fearful. They can't go to where they need to go. So they're missing appointments. Maybe they had a ticket, but they're afraid even to go to pay that ticket for fear of if they get pulled over, ICE will come and swoop them away from their family. So I think it's a very important point she makes, Christine, about not confusing the two. Infractions an infraction. Every one of us knows if we break a traffic law, we're not a criminal. We just broke a traffic law. We need to do what's right to resolve that. And I'll tell you, those in the Latino community are doing education around this every day because they want to do what's right. Anybody new to this land or has been here 30 years without documentation wants to do what is right. So how do we help our police departments, our sheriffs, do that? And when the community rose up last week, we were going to have a press conference last Friday at 10 at the sheriff's office in Clackamas County. They issued a press release at 5 o'clock saying they are not colluding with ICE. And so we'll have a sit down about that. And we're thankful if they aren't. We want to make sure that's the case. I think all around the state, any listener, whatever county you're in, Jackson, Clatsop, you name them, can go and check what their local police and sheriffs have in place to help people in that community live.
And I might just add that I think I want to underscore, and I think this isn't the end of our quest for justice mm-hmm. and justice for not creating two-tiered systems, but the importance of being able to drive legally for communities is so important. It's something we just take for granted, but it's not something. I mean, so many people that I know as patients and as friends who can't drive, who, you know, get to work through hours on the bus, on public transportation, and again, the rural question, it's a day-to-day life struggle. So I think there are bigger issues that we have to keep tackling, but we can't let that stop us from starting here with just creating a path for people to drive legally. And I wanted to add, there's a beautiful resource, kind of a daily scripture reading maybe, from Khalsa, Oregon, and it's khalsa.org. They're the 100 Days stories, and they're just personal stories of every day someone who's affected by the issue of not being able to drive and the importance of driving. And I'll just, if it's okay, yes, just to take please. A second, this was from day 59, and Christina wrote, and you can go to the website, it's beautiful, the importance of driving that we don't even think about. But she says, the moment my mother was able to get a license was a decisive moment in my life, and that for my siblings. For much of my childhood, my mother didn't drive, couldn't drive, and because of my dad's long work hours, my parents weren't able to attend many of our school events, nor was I able to participate in the things I enjoyed. And Christina writes that her parents emigrated from Oaxaca, Mexico. And I think we just forget those really little basic things that we know impact families. You know, so it's getting to the healthcare appointment, getting to the emergency room, getting to work, but it's also allowing parents to efficiently get from work to a after school event or a sports event. All the things that we just take for granted and aren't true for so many disenfranchised communities.
And this is a critical time because before this not ability to drive was enacted in Oregon in 2007, people could get around more so, but now people's licenses are expiring.
Absolutely.
So you have a lot of people suddenly, their families in disruption. Mm-hmm. And go back in history, I hope everybody goes back. You know, talk to your elders from whatever community you're in. They'll tell you stories of what they had to do to make it because laws were not set up fair. And this is another one of those cases. And I really believe in this state. I mean, we've all been around the state. I know a lot of people in different parts, different counties, when I was on the state commission for children and families. And they're great people. And they're trying to weave fair and just communities. So I know in every small town in the state, they're having this discussion. And people are working to make this happen. I think last summer when this ballot measure first was put on the ballot, the feeling was this may win or lose. No, win. Lose. Yeah, so many ballot measures. Okay. But that's the opposition to Measure 88 mm-hmm. would win. And then we started talking, I think, around many tables, realizing that the fear-based politics, it can win, but the community strength is so strong that we are going to win this as a ballot measure. But it takes all of us. When I preach on Sunday, Cecil, you know that too. I've got 900 members. They're not all in church every Sunday, but I've got 900 members. And I keep saying, during the week, 900 people times, say, 15 from the little child in preschool who knows about Measure 88 and fairness and equity to our elder, almost 100, who's talking at the coffee shop with friends or volunteering at a food bank. They are affecting people. So take one person times 15, my congregation times 15, that's 13,000 people a day. If every one of us is out there talking with others we know about Measure 88, we don't have to have huge dollars to win this.
But we can effectively make that groundswell in the state and help change hearts and minds with the stories that are so compelling and real, and our own histories.
Let's go to our next caller. Dave, thank you. Oops. We'll try the call again. Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you. Kind of a twofold question, and I apologize if this is repetitious. But does the law make it so a person who's applying for a new card, do they have to sort of come to the DMV and say, hey, I'm getting a driver's card, not a driver's license, number one? And then number two, are there protections? Is there anything to stop immigration from, going to the DMV and saying, give us the list of all the driver's card people, and then, basically using this as a way to flag people for deportation? Are there any protections against that? That's my question. I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Great questions. Maxine?
Well, I think that the answer is what we've been saying, that this is a starting place, and the first thing is to get Measure 88 enacted. And then I think all of us have to, as we do for all of these issues of social justice and equity, we have to make sure that they are implemented in a way that's really fair.
I agree. I can't go into the details of the point. I could. I know those leading the campaign could easily probably answer those questions, but we're both putting ourselves forward on this because it's a just answer. But I really appreciate the questions, and I think we can get you those answers.
Okay. And, if someone wanted some more information, is there a website that they could go to, or phone number? Do you have that?
Yeah. So the website for the Yes on 88 Safe Roads campaign is VoteYesOn88, all one word, but the 88 is the number 88. So VoteYesOn88.com.
Okay, excellent.
And I can only speak for myself, not Maxine. I'm always learning, and so I love good questions. They take us deeper.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to our next caller. Troy, good morning.
What is 88 exactly doing?
Okay, explain the measure. Maxine?
Yeah, so Measure 88, or the Safe Roads Measure, as we're calling it, as it's known, will provide for a four-year driver card, a way for those who currently cannot get a driver's license because they are unable to show the adequate documentation. It would enable them to get a driver's card and thereby legally drive. So they would go to the DMV office. As Reverend Knudsen said, they need to prove that they've been an Oregon resident for a year or more. And I believe proof of that would be utility bills or rent statements, that kind of thing. So prove that they're an Oregon resident and take the same driving written and road test and assure that they have insurance. And then they would be given a card that would permit them to legally drive once they pass all of those criteria.
So the driver card, is that going to actually replace the driver's license then, or is that on the ballot then on this forum then, or not?
Great question. Yeah.
Well, and these are persons that currently in Oregon could not get a driver's license, and still won't until we clearly make us all residents of this state fairly and equitably. But it's a step in the right way, and that's what the legislature passed. And it already had passed it. It had already been enacted and signed into law by the governor, this driver's card, to at least help people get where they need to be. And so this ballot measure was meant to put it back out there, hoping people who didn't want those who need driver's cards or licenses, for sure, to get them. So
that's an important point, that this was already...
I don't have a residence. And, it seems like it's a little bit discriminatory in the sense that, there's a lot of people that are artists here that we're just rolling around and basically just, and we're providing content for KBOO as well, because we know the music and stuff like that. And we're also out here on the street, running the avant-garde on the thing while the downtown police department continuously runs this massive, almost like military surveillance mechanism, that people are pretty much well aware of at this point, that is very unusual. I have no idea what the purpose of it is. But these are all the issues that people just seem to every day just kind of just keep going on, and they don't really pay much attention to it. I'm curious as to what exactly is going on, because I'm just like, wow, are people really going to tolerate this for that long? But it seems kind of unusual.
Okay,
Troy, do you have a residence in Portland right now?
Well, my family lives here. I've been here for 15 years. I moved here to Brooklyn. I was in an art community in Brooklyn before 9/11, so I'm more on the avant-garde side. And then
you have ID, and you're a citizen of this country?
I do. I don't want to say too much, because I got to pay. I want to keep my driver's license. I got to pay my fines that I currently have, because we are
totally understood. And see, you and I have the privilege of going in and getting a driver's license if we want to. We won't.
Right.
There's nothing that could discriminate from us doing that, unless we'd had terrible driving records that did that. But for others, that's not the case. But I really appreciate what you're saying, because I agree. We have a lot to look at in our society to make it more civil and just for every single person. And we love the arts community.
Maxine?
Well, I wanted to just go back to something Reverend Knutson said. This actually was passed by Governor Kitzhaber in 2013. And then very soon after, like the next day, it was blocked in court. So what was passed by Governor Kitzhaber was the ability for people to get driver's cards, and then it was blocked. And I think, it's important that there is a motive behind the opposition, and it's
well,
really
it's like,
a disequity.
It's just so annoying. It's so annoying, because it's like the Obama administration is like, we try and support that. And then at the same time, you wake up and you realize, like, well, how can we support that, when it's like they're just like, we're already set way back in this other thing through Occupy. So it's like, it's almost like we're living in this like fake illusion of just like whatever. Then you listen to OPB in the morning, and that's just like, they're probably directly responsible for the propaganda that's happening out of Washington that's causing half the instability in these communities anyways. And so KABU is like a good counter for that, and all those crazy artists or whatever running around trying to just, make you guys entertain all you cats with the best audio that's out there. And it's just like, it's just kind of unusual and we're still trying to, understand the perspective of all the different content that's happening, because certainly, it's very complicated. But it's really cool. It's still cool. And it's still a cool thing. It's still like people are getting out and doing stuff. But it's just like, to me, it seems like the thing is the downtown thing, the surveillance and all the and ID card and all that stuff, is just more and more of our freedoms getting eroded, in the midst of like more war, evidently, people are going to choose the. I don't like the word solution to be used on the air.
Okay, true. You're raising a lot of questions that we can't go into all this morning, but really appreciate your call and raising those important points.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And you're listening to KBOO. We're speaking with citizens, activists here who are in support of Yes on 88, which, when you receive your ballot in soon, it will be on your ballot, and you will need to vote on this. But let me remind you that coming up on KBOO at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour, a program of social political commentary from a socialist feminist point of view. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein speaks with scientists Seth Darling and Douglas Sisterson about their book, How to Change Minds About Our Changing Climate. At 11, Jimmy Tardy speaks with Adam Tanner, a fellow of Harvard Institute for Quantitative Social Sciences and author of What Stays in Vegas? Personal Data, Big Business, and the End of Privacy. At 11:30 on Radio Zine, Dan Johnson interviews Maya Chamberlain from Friendly House about the upcoming SAGE Metro Gay and Gray Expo 2014. And want to thank all of you who are KBOO members. And a reminder that our fall membership drive starts on October 1st. It's a great time to join and renew. You are listening to More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott, and I'm speaking with Maxine Fuchsen and Mark Knutson about Yes on 88, a ballot measure that will allow people to get driver cards. Let's go to our next caller on hold. Marie, thank you for waiting.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I am the mom of an unemployed Gulf War vet. Every day, 22 veterans commit suicide. how is this ballot measure going to help our veterans get jobs when they're being taken by folks who don't live here, who are not residents? And I know for a fact they are taking the jobs.
Okay. A common concern. And I don't know. Mark, do you want to answer that? Does this impact employment in any way?
And I believe not. I believe this makes us safer. I really hear your concern, because I know we have a lot of work to do in this state around full employment. And maybe we need to raise the question again of a minimum family wage that Dr. King raised in the 60s, so everybody can have life and health and employment and housing and education. Those are all key components, and transportation to a good society. So often, Marie, what happens in situations like this, in any time of trying to work for justice, is groups are pitted against each other. And both group needs things that are very important for living. And that's been done on these issues. You'll see persons who are new to this land or been here many years and really are residents of this land pitted against groups that are also vulnerable. And veterans, we know, are so vulnerable. And we have many in our congregation, and we lift them up every day for the service they did. So it's that deeper question of not pitting ourselves against one another, but looking to make, you know, fair employment, just wages, a central conversation in this state for every person, because there should be plenty of work. I mean, we also have to address how corporations have downsized workforces in order to high-tech and do away with jobs. That's probably the bigger issue. Do not employers have a responsibility to the community, not just to their profit line? And there are many good employers in the state, but I think that's a deeper question of a society that really honors every citizen. And by citizen, again, I'm going back to the biblical principle. Anybody living in this state, to me, is a resident, a citizen of the world, but also of this place where they live.
And Maxine?
Well, I just wanted to add, I think that I really agree with Reverend Knudsen, and I think we shouldn't be pitting against each other or conflating the right to drive with any other issue. We need to fight for all these social justice issues, and passing Measure 88 doesn't in any way mean we would stop working for justice for working people, and that's so important. And I think, you know, Governor Kitzhaber did a press conference the other day where he clearly came out with his endorsement of Measure 88 and pointed out that people affected by not being able to drive are many who are long-term residents of our state, tax-paying, hard-working members of our communities, and that as an issue of human rights, the right to drive is so central and so core. Can I make one other point? Because I think voting on ballot measures can always be confusing. And mm-hmm. I just want to stress, this is a yes vote that we're encouraging people to do. It's kind of like, which way do I vote? So if you believe in the right to a driver's card, it's a yes on 88 vote.
Thank you for your call. We'll go to our next caller. Richard, thank you for waiting.
Good morning, Cecil. Good morning. I'm sorry I missed the names of your other guests, but I appreciate you bringing this conversation up. I have a little bit to contribute. It's in the way of current law and the standing that people have in relationship to the state. Persons drive, and persons are corporations, and people have the right, they're the public, they have the right of way on the public right of way. I mean, we have this old expression called the public right of way, which means the public. And that includes everybody. It includes people that are visiting here from other places. And unless we the people and the public, can get this idea about persons who are companies, businesses, they are defined in law as firms, corporations, sole partnerships, joint stock companies, and limited liability corps, unless we can get this idea out of our heads that we are all persons, companies are going to keep on treating us as though we are, and they're in competition with us, and they're going to go a long way away. We are paying them as people. We are volunteering to pay their costs of doing business on the highway or fixing the roads that they break up, and they can go further and bring stuff back from places where people are kept behind chain link fences to do work. And I mean, sometimes a building falls down and kills 1,000 workers at a time.
So Richard, I think you're raising some important points. I'm having a little bit of difficulty following you.
By your friends here.
Yeah,
your friends are saying that driving is a right. Driving is a privilege for companies.
Okay.
I just think that we should all go with the right. If we all asserted our right as the public to use the highways, use the public right of way, then all of these social problems would start to resolve.
Okay, well, let our guests respond because we're running short of on time, Richard.
Okay, can we get good contact numbers for these people?
Okay, thank you, Richard.
Measure 88 is who to call right now.
Yeah, so again, the website for the Yes on 88 Safe Roads Initiative is voteyesson88.com.
Okay.
And I would say that you're right, Richard, that the public highways, public thoroughfares are for the public, and that's all of us. And this makes it safe for all of us. So vote yes. Yes, I may sound confused a little early in the show. My Sunday started at 6 a.m. and ended at midnight, so I'm just clearing my head fully. And I do just want to give a shout-out to Cecil real quickly again. Tomorrow night, if you want to get more literature on this, but come out and join the community and leaders from a cross-section of the city to support Francisco Aguirre. And it's 7 o'clock at Augustana Lutheran Church tomorrow night. We expect 1,000 people, so come early, but there will be monitors outdoors and speakers for all to hear, because this is all very important, and driving is something people need right now. And his family couldn't see him if they didn't have the ability to get from Fairview to Gresham, Augustana and Gresham. So vote yes on 88, please, everybody, and organize and help others do that.
So Maxine, I'm going to give you the last word. Why is this important, and what should people do?
What people should do is vote yes on Measure 88. And so when you get your ballot, that's a yes vote. Why it's important, I think, is really spoken to by just the amazing grassroots coalition that has come together around this issue. So members of the faith communities, the health and public health community, labor, social justice groups, immigrant rights groups, small business groups, nursery businessmen. It's such an issue for making Oregon the state that we all believe that it should be, and joining with about 9 other states who grant the right to drive to all who can take the test and pass the test, and it allows all of us to be safer on the road. So I think it's a safety measure and it's an equity measure.
Well, I want to thank both of our guests this morning, the Reverend Mark Knudsen of Augustana Lutheran Church and Maxine Fuchsen, a pediatric health practitioner. They have been here to share their concerns and urge your support for Measure 88. Vote yes on 88, they urge you. And for more information, go to the website yeson88.
VoteYesOn88.com.
Thank you, Maxine. This is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for more exciting and informative programming here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Thank you.
The Friends of Jordan 5K and Kids Run, Saturday, October 11th at 9 a.m. Friends of Jordan is an organization that provides support for families as they go through the trials of serious childhood illness. This fun run and walk will raise funds for Adult in Reno, a 22-month-old from Salem. Again, that's the Friends of Jordan 5K and Kids Run on Saturday, October 11th at 9 a.m. at Forest Grove High School, 1401 Nichols Lane in Forest Grove. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the home page under Community Events.
Join us for our monthly movie event, KBOO at the Clinton. This month, on October 9th, KBOO will host a screening of The U.S. vs. John Lennon, a 2006 documentary film about John Lennon and his transformation from Beatle to anti-war activist and the repression he faced because of his political activities. That's KBOO at the Clinton with The U.S. vs. John Lennon on Thursday, October 9th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Yes, I wish I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. And I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Hi, folks. This is your old Mole Variety Hour, rooting those mountains down in this age of permanent wars, with the U.S. leading the way. One of those wars, a never-ending war on nature. And another wars, set of wars, a never-ending wars for oil, for resources, for markets, for wealth, with the U.S. policing the world for multinational capital. The U.S. establishment media, its news program, it consists of constant threats and menace from ISIS, Al-Qaeda terrorists, a new group in Syria, Khorasan, the U.S. invented the name, threats from Russia, now also from China, who seem to be preparing to challenge U.S. domination of the countries and waters of South Asia. U.S. media always beating the drums, preparing for war, and describing how our brave armed forces are helping our